I'm Terry. I'm an addict. I found groups like this. NA wasn't in Houston at that time, but I found a group like this March 10th, 1972. For that, I'm grateful. And one thing that Mike R., thank you, God, that he's in heaven, but one thing that he talked about was badass literature. Can y'all hear me? Okay. And I do want to use the literature. And it says here, and this is in the first part of chapter 6, and this is what we've been asked to talk about, Living Clean, the Journey Continues. And it says, a new way of life. Our literature tells us that we become acceptable, responsible, and productive members of that society. But it also cautions that social acceptability does not equal recovery. That's important to me. We want to be free. We want to feel accepted and respected without pretending to be anything other than who we are. I think part of the reason that I needed drugs did a lot for me, and they did a lot for all of our friends. But what they did for me is take away this feeling. I mean, I'm feeling nervous. I'm feeling like, oh boy, I didn't need detox, so how am I an addict if I didn't need detox? Back in those days, man, there wasn't any detox anyway, but I didn't need that. I was just, you know, doing whatever was passing by in high school. But I needed to be led to do that, so my codependency got me led to do that, and boys were there before drugs. So I think in some ways relationships are part of my addiction. So it's addiction. It's not about drugs. I know that in my case, I had several of them. My sugar was when I was 4 years old. I mean, that's way ahead of boys. That's way ahead of drugs. So all these addictions are what I can rely on to take away the fear and the pain. Mainly it was the fear and being uncomfortable. I was only comfortable around my family. And I had a really good family, two alcoholics, but we didn't think of them as alcoholics because they were like just having fun. And they, all the other people that came over and then had parties, they were all the same. So we didn't think of it as alcoholism. But I do remember trying out whatever was at the bottom of the glasses. I didn't like it. But later I found out some stuff that was very sweet that I really liked. I don't get into naming particular drugs. And that liquid drug was just one of many. My dad wanted me to have good grades and be good, look good, be good, and have activities. So he always involved me in activities. That was a good thing. I wanted to have his time. My mom, we always had her time, so we're like, But I wanted my dad's time. And the alcohol, that didn't even affect me at that time. My mom wanted us to do chores, look good, and just kind of be cute. She wanted us to live out something she wasn't able to live out. In fact, our family, I think they came out of the Depression, this is a long time ago, but they came out of the Depression, they didn't have money. So they wanted to live out in us, my sister's 2 years older, what they didn't have. So we got to have fun stuff. So my dad was a dentist. He you know, helped us to get the fun stuff. We had a swimming pool, we had a beach house, and all those things were just toys to have while they played their games, which was alcohol. But the church-related thing that I wanted to bring up, because this is the part that I've been asked to talk about, is a leap of faith. The church-related thing that I was given was that we go to mainstream church, you learn a little bit, and you're good because you did that on Sunday. And I appreciate it. The things I liked about it was pretty calm. I liked the singing part, and then I liked the youth group. So the youth group part, let's just skip up to that part. We pretended we were smoking it, but we really weren't. It was just cigarettes. So we all sat in the circle and pretended. This is how I start, you know, this is kind of like you have little things that you do first. All of us have done this stuff, I know. When it comes to the boyfriend thing, that became really fast because we were at the beach, and I don't know. I wanted a romantic thing. I wanted a guy. I did. I admit it. I wanted somebody to make me feel like they wanted to be with me, because I didn't really want to be with me, but I needed somebody to kind of bring something more important where I would be important, and it's partly because of him. So a couple years older than me, and Then that's when I learned about sex, and that's with a guy. The other part was by myself. But anyway, but with drugs, that came just shortly after that. So here's what happens in that day. You hid everything. You don't let anybody know, because what do you have to do? Look good, seem good. And when it came to, like, my grades, I hate to say this, but I didn't know it until I looked back. I was very average. I love that some people can go and get their associates, their bachelor's, their master's, and go to the doctorate. I did not want to go to school because number one, I was already playing around drugs and all that. Around 14, I was like, I didn't care. So I think in some ways drugs took my future away from me. But on the other hand, that's what I chose. So I chose something that was chosen for me. It's kind of like the drug of no choice. That's what some of the people have been saying, like, lately. And then, now I was getting attention, but I was getting kind of attention for the wrong stuff from the wrong people. But that was good enough. And so I think that kind of gave me a real... I don't remember that year, ninth grade, too much. But then I was invited just shortly after that, 72, a friend of ours heard a great speaker. I think she heard about a speaker that was going to be speaking. He talked about a 12-step program. So that's how I ended up going to my first meeting, was at the church where that guy had spoken on Sunday. They started a 12-step meeting for little kids. It was just for adolescents at Palmer Church, and y'all might know about that. So it was really an offshoot of NA, because our little leader guy was out of NA. So really my time does go back to that. They said, why don't you just stay clean for about 30 days, and then if you don't like it, go back, just go back out and you can do what you were doing. Well, after the 30 days, I didn't want to go back out. Then I liked it. I liked the guys with the long, straight hair. They had waist about that big around. All of them said they loved me. You know, they hug you, say they love you. I kind of thought it was that other type of love. So I was just and we had one meeting a week. I'm just kind of giving a throwback. Some people might not know this, but we had one meeting a week. People from A&K know that they were some of the first people to start our groups and to hold our groups and to keep that group going from that time. And I'm getting the chills. I wasn't going to do an A&K day, but I mean, I love it that we were able to find y'all back in those times. And there was a few other groups that I think are still going. So at the time, there was a very, very strong A group. And I felt like I couldn't really talk about drugs at that group, but they were very accepting of me. So I can never talk anything down about them. So I stayed in that group for many years. I do want to read a little bit in this. Gave me a moment there. I really went back there. Whew, sorry, y'all. It says, even when we share our lives with others, our willingness to fulfill our responsibility to ourselves determines our ability to feel love and be satisfied with our lives. It's the integrity with which we live our lives that is important. After all, if we don't like who we are or how we act, if we find our own company uncomfortable, does it really matter what or how much we have? I want to talk about the not going to school. You know, I really chose not to have a highfalutin career. I chose the beautiful addict that I met when I was at Whitney once, and then we stayed together 24 years. So we stayed clean 24 years. I had my two kids. My kids are in their 40s. And we say we were clean, but we were sort of dry. There was a point where once children are running around groups, you pull back. You say, I don't know if I'm going to get a babysitter. I pulled back and said, I'm fine now. I don't need to hear a meeting on first, second, and third steps anymore. I'm fine. That's all they really talk about. And I wasn't doing any, I didn't even know what H&I was in those days, but I did. I pulled back. So there was years that I didn't go. I just didn't attend. And I got actually pretty miserable. But one thing that came was the spiritual life. So I got involved in a really hyper church, real hyper, the kind that's They stood, they clapped, they sang, they ran, they did the, speaking in tongues. And that really, that gave me a soul of a lift, because I was a very quiet person. That was really the first time I had gotten out of myself, even in NA. Y'all can see me. I want to sit in the back. Don't come. It's tough to meet a bunch of new people and all that. And I still do try to go to conventions and be there. But I'm really very comfortable in our small group in Pearland. If you ever go to our group, please come. You're not too far away from us. There's like 8 to 10 to 12 people, maybe 30 on a birthday night. So I'll celebrate birthday in April. We have one girl celebrating 8 years with us. We have another guy celebrating 24 years. Thank you, God, for him. We have another one about 3 or 4 years. So we're trying to, stick and stay. So please come and celebrate. But anyway, where was I going with that? That I thought was a great relationship, which really believed in all these principles that come out of that bigger book. But then all of a sudden, I'm finding out he found a different person. Kind of shook me up, and I wouldn't believe in it. Not until my son came and said to me, "Papa's coming over to my house and getting in contact with her." Then I was open. Then my mind got open. We all have experience starting over in our lives with new people, places, and things, stepping into a new way of life we don't quite understand. The desire to survive and feel fulfilled is not unique to us as addicts. In recovery, we begin with connection to others and work our way to basic safety. And perhaps it has to be this way. To believe that we can trust the love in our lives is challenging. Those really deep needs are the ones we believe won't be met. It begins with the amends process, the understanding that we can forgive and be forgiven, that we can take responsibility for our actions and make better choices. The reason I wanted to bring that up is that this whole spiritual life, I was really strong in that spiritual life till that happened. And then it was at my place. I couldn't feel too comfortable at my place. They asked him to leave. And if the pastor asks you to leave, there's a reason. So I'm saying this because of my life, and I can share my beliefs as I need to. I didn't even feel right standing inside that church with any other male unless another person was with me, because I am clean. I do have integrity. I didn't ever look at another person after that, and after him, meeting him. I wanted it to be for sure in my own thoughts that I was still innocent of, like, you couldn't hold anything against me. I know that sounds kind of like, wow, goody goody for you. But it meant a lot to me because I had been living that. And I wanted it also for my children. They were there and saw everything. They saw it before I did, unfortunately. So that choice got made for me, and now I can be very glad because I got a big freedom. I needed a freedom from him. Actually, he was a very angry man. And as some people might know, anger, it spews everywhere. So I needed that freedom. So there was a little bit of time in between. I got a hold of my sponsor. My sponsor saw me coming through this, and we worked our steps together. She saw him, knew him. We were in meetings together, and so we did choose to go to separate meetings. I do say, don't leave NA. Don't leave your meetings no matter what, but choose meetings that you do not have to go on that same path. Therefore, you can continue to work your steps. People can become your allies. Don't leave NA. Don't leave your program no matter what. So then I had a time between. So I really needed that time between. I actually could stay out late and go to my own vacation by myself. I chose Corpus. Thank you, Corpus. I chose to go somewhere, to by myself, go to dinner by myself. I don't think I had ever done that. I'm 17 when I met him. So I had gotten to do these things by myself for the first time. I mentioned earlier not a bunch of things about my career because I just would go on the job and learn on the job. in between the time, we homeschooled some time, and so I was unemployed and had no car when I was going through some of this stuff. And when it came to where I needed that, my dad did help me. He came forward, he helped me, he paid the lawyer, and he got my car running. It was shortly after that I was offered a job, so I stayed on that job many years. But what I want to get to is that time in between, take a break in between things like this. Get your sponsor and get in steps no matter what. Get through all 12, and the reason I wanted to get through all 12 in writing with her face-to-face, not on a phone, is because I didn't want to repeat that. I did not want to repeat that, and it was my picker. I did that. I got him. I wanted him. I ran after him, but I was able to make that break, and actually even in a meeting one night, make the night step with him. So that was a good thing. He was gone. And because the kids, you know, this person is nearby, but he's in heaven. That was then. Okay. And then I did really learn to forgive and let go. Until we forgive, we're still tied with that person, right? Because you're like, oh, I wonder if, oh, I'm mad. And if only, yeah, look what he has. Look what she brought, you know, he brought from my house to her house. Anyway, all that. Until I could let go of that, I was tied to her. I was tied to him. I was tied to anger. And I usually say I'm not angry, but it's sad. I'll go to sad. I'll go to self-harm. Self-harm is when I'm doing drugs and I know they could hurt my chromosomes, and my friend did have a child that had issues. To me, addiction equals self-harm now. I can look back and know that now. At the time, no. It was have fun, go to concerts and other places, late night places and so on, and then hide everything. That's what it used to be. It says in here, I want to get into this part, very important to me. Throughout our recovery, we improve our behavior, our attitudes and perspectives in our lives. The awakenings we have as we work the first 11 steps give us the ability to act in a new way. We ask for knowledge of our higher power's will for us and the power to carry that out. After all the surrendering and house cleaning in the previous steps, a constant conscious contact in the 11th step changes us. I had to come to now a new understanding about God and that Bible kind of stuff and the new peace. And so the peace really was to open my eyes to, for a while, it was a different church that was super peaceful. I have a choice in my life, and I choose peace. Y'all probably maybe choose other things, but I really like peace. So I'll go to a lot of lengths to be at peace. I paid off my car note. I wanted to be at peace. My gut doesn't work, you know, like that 10 days before that car note any longer. We had a debt issue. I go to my sponsor. I'm ready. Let me do my fourth step on debt. I did it. Fourth through ninth. We're in the process of all of that, of finishing that. That's a longer term process. So I do suggest if there is any problem, just put it on a fourth step. I decided I would do one on jobs. There were 9 of them. And I actually did a fourth through ninth steps. And I kind of, on some of them, were just kind of my own apology to myself. For every single one of those jobs, I could usually pick out people that it's people who usually get the four-step stuff. So there were people that came across my mind and different ways that I could make amends. One job I walked off of and I thought I had no fault. There was a reason I walked off and so on and so on. But I found out that I still owe the apology because I put them in a lurch when I was gone. Yes, I was treated badly, but if I do something wrong or if I, you know, cause that other the harm, doesn't matter how many years later, there's a bigger power. That bigger power is going to say, oh, don't you remember, Dr. Terry? You never, you know, made an apology. And it was like years later, but I wrote the letter. And I'm really want to kind of bring that one out because kind of you think about, oh, write the letter, tell your sponsor, burn it, and all that kind of stuff. So some of that is good too. There's no bad way to do a ninth step if it's time, but don't do a ninth step before all the rest. I know y'all know that stuff. Sorry. I think y'all know that stuff. But I got to tell you that there was a guy, oh God, 10 minutes. Okay, there was a guy that he, I'll just skip a lot of it. We met each other in a program with an A behind it. We both have an eating disorder. And so that's how I met him. And he invited me to eat dinner. He called me on the phone. Long, long time we talk. And then we get off the phone. A different time we did it. And so over a year, finally he asked me to dinner. I call up my sponsor. Sponsor, Will, can you help me finish the 12th step up through the last of my, I think it was 11 and 12. She says, okay, I get it done, and then I'm going to be going out to dinner with him on the Saturday night coming. So we do, and I think he knew pretty fast, but I was like, wait, all men can hurt you. Every man can tell you lies. Every man can... I was still not used to somebody who would truly care, truly, you know, sort of be selfless and all that, not be angry. And I'll mention his name is Andre. And we went to dinner. I'm trying to make it fast. This is going to be hard. Anyway, we went to dinner. I thought he said 5 years. He was not. So it was 53 days he had. Yay. But he had been in program since the 80s. So, you know, I was kind of like, I don't know, 5 years, that's great, great, great. So I think I had already knitted into him before I sort of figured that one out or before it got clarified to me. But what I liked about him is, and about us is that he would let me talk. And actually, be careful. If you are going to remarry, don't make the new one listen to your whole 24 years of your past and do all the sadnesses and all the tears and everything else. But he listened to all of this stuff, and he made it through that, and he still loved me. And, you know, I felt like I was 17 again because, you know, things did work. My kids had to say, Mama. No, they never did. They just sort of would duck out of the room if we were at our house. We'd try to go to his house more often. But then he asked me to marry him really fast, and I'm like, let me talk to my sponsor. No, I didn't say it that way, but I was like, I was really waiting to be, I wanted it to be absolute that I know. So it was shortly, I don't know if I absolutely know, but knew the absolute from some bigger power. I don't believe in the burning bush, sorry, or for anybody who might have that stuff, but I felt a peace. So the peace, I think, is where I follow with my higher power. That change in my way of worship now is I do pray. I do meditate in the morning, a quiet meditation. I do have my literature. I do listen to, you know, some good worship music. And right now, because of COVID, ever since then, I haven't been doing the church-related thing except for an online. I go to an online church. But anyway, long story short is that we were married. We had way fun. My two kids and his kid together. We have three kids now. We don't say step, and they really knitted each other together. But he had injury. So what I didn't know, I mean, I knew he had an injury when we met. He got surgery and it went well, and he did fine. The second surgery, though, he had this other surgery. That's when didn't go too fine with the medicine, and I just didn't know what it would be like. Because if somebody has pain, they need medicine. What brought me to attending NA full-time was once he went through quite a few years of his own relapse, I had my relapse in going in his addiction with him and following him and not following him, but thinking of him, getting very codependent and worried, super worried. I'd tell my sponsor, she would say, just watch. She did not say, go look at everything, go find stuff. But it happened that a piece of paraphernalia came, and I'm like, not under this roof. It hadn't been since 72, and it's never going to be under this roof. I hate to tell y'all, but I called the police, and I said it was domestic violence. He had been passed out, and I told him, get it out of this house, or you get out of this house. And so I didn't lock him out, but he started his road to get help to come back to treatment. That did take some time, but on the time that he went 12 years ago, coming to be almost exactly 12 years ago, he went and he asked for treatment at a state place. We had nothing left. I pretended we have nothing left, and I pretended I did not want him to be there. He was away, and he had called and said, "Can I come? Can I just lay on the couch?" And I said, "Why?" So that was all I did, and I never said, "Don't come home," but I did have my mom's keys in my purse and his sister's keys in my purse if I needed to. If that door got kicked in, I'd be out. He never threatened. He never. One thing that did get done to me was wasting of our money. So that's part of that debt. I'm kind of mad about debt because we got into that. But where I'm trying to go with this is that I had to again go back to writing my first step. You know, this time it was on that one man, really. I was kind of mad at him. But it took me getting into that first step in writing with that sponsor. It took me 2 weeks. I took 2 weeks of writing. Have y'all, I don't know about the first step, you know. And then my sponsor got with me. I told her everything. She said, "Okay, now write on the second step." I did that. Well, then there's that higher power is all in there. And I'm like, wait a minute, I can't control his situation. I was flat on my face feeling that he had done this to me, this relapse. Well, I had to realize I had to lay down everything I owned, you know, our assets, which is a home, our cars. He had a business at the time. I had my mom and dad's situation in that I needed to help them at the time. Anyway, I had to, assets that were there. I had to lay them down and say to the higher power, "I lay it down and I give it all up, but only restore to me what you want me to have." That's kind of hard because you're like, 3 minutes, okay. That's kind of hard because I want it back to be perfect, and that's not going to always happen to us. I didn't even get into much in the careers, but I had a job about 21 years, and that ended. And a friend of mine invited me to bring my... he's got 12 years. Okay, I got to that. A friend of mine invited me to bring my resume and start and bring it over there. And I got this job that's in recovery now, and I've been there 2 years. And that has been a real change to me because I've never, other than 12-step work and then sponsoring, that's another thing that NA has given me is sponsoring. But other than that, I had never been around as many addicts as I'm around now. And I have so much more of a love for them because they're having a bad day. You know, if I feel like I'm uncomfortable with goofy behavior, they're actually hurting, have a mental issues that they probably haven't, you know, dealt with in a long time. And here I got all my clean time, which is actually today. It's a one-day program. But being able to use that compassion that I was given, y'all gave me compassion, y'all accepted me. I wasn't even sure if I should even be here. I didn't need the hospital, so I didn't go to jail. But y'all accepted me. Even at that time, I was like 16, little kid. I wish our 16-year-olds would stay. Please get them to stay. Just go to their house. Just knock on their door and say, "We'll let you come in. We want you to lead our meeting. Please let a 16-year-old lead a meeting." You know, if they're 18 and they're ready to get your first step, get with them that day, that week. Do not let it go by. Get their first step that week. Get them writing. Do something. We are all in that same boat in that we are just clean today. So keep the door open. COVID, you're done. And we've got 5 days a week in Pearland. So we're open 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. It's not a commercial, but it is. We all need to get back open and be ready to greet the girl. I mean, she's 18. She said, I left treatment. And I says, good, we're going to work on whether you're doing treatment or NA, do a pros and cons on going back to treatment or pros and cons on going back to school and finish and getting an NA. And she's going to do that with me tomorrow. So I hope y'all are open to working with people, even if they're not in your age group or if you're, you know, helper. I didn't even talk about vigilance. That was something that came about when he came back in A, and he needed to go somewhere where nobody knew him. And it's important. Sometimes go where people don't know you. You know, if we're so comfortable, we're like, okay, I'm here, I'm sitting down, and I'm done. You know, I'm fine. No, we're not fine until all of us are fine. So thank you. Thank you.